Good morning, church family. How are we today? Good to see everybody. I don't get many of these opportunities, but I love the opportunities I do get to come and speak with you guys. Pastor Steve is hanging out with his son up at UVA this weekend and enjoying some time away. And if you recognize this graphic and that little bumper video a minute ago, you're not crazy. This was a series that we did back in November 2019, which was right before the world shut down, one of the last ones that we did. And if you remember, this was the infamous, the most notorious bumper video that we've ever shown in the history of this church. If you remember this, this was the one with the really big guy that was puking into the trash can over and over and over again. And we actually have this queued up if you guys want to go ahead and, I'm kidding. Calm down. We're not jumping necessarily back into this series. This is, I wanted to just, as we enter into this season that we're getting ready to jump into, I love how this clip that we just watched from The Jerk, which, by the way, I have to tell you this, I don't recommend you go watch this unless you've already seen it. It's kind of inappropriate. It's kind of funny. Whatever. You do you. I can't recommend it, though. That's what I'm trying to say. But I love the portrait that it paints as Steve Martin is stumbling through his house and he's picking up all these things. He's proclaiming that he doesn't need this. I don't need anything. I don't need all this stuff to be happy, but except for that, I need that. And he's constantly picking up another thing and he finds more objects that he can't live without. And he keeps saying, this is all I need. And spooky season's over. We're done with that. Halloween is past. Welcome to November. And officially, ladies and gentlemen, we have entered into the most wonderful time of the year. And what I mean by that is the most stressful time of the year. Welcome to the most stressful time of the year. That song, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, was written in 1963. And I don't know what was going on in 1963, but that stuff doesn't exist anymore. Look at the first verse. It says, with the kids jingle belling. The kids are not jingle belling, unless you're referring to the fact that jingle bells are annoying, and in that case, kids are jingle belling like crazy, right? And then it says what it says, and everyone telling you be of good cheer. Everyone's not telling you anything. Everyone's yelling. They're not telling, they're yelling, and whatever good cheer is kind of sounds more like, I need a beer to get through this holiday season. Anybody talking about family plans already? Show of hands. Guys, getting those ready? Anybody already tossed that grenade in and blowed the whole holiday up already? Done. You tell your mom, we're not coming this year. Right? 'Tis the season to be stressed out, broke, tired, overstimulated, stretched thin, and in a state of mental instability that makes you consider selling everything you own and living in a van down by the river, which is actually very cheap and starting to look a lot better as the days progress. Maybe Chris Farley was onto something. And I'm confident that every year the holidays get harder. I don't know why, but every year the holidays do get harder. And that leads to the whole theme of today, that clip, The Jerk. And we're going to talk about a buzzword today, a very difficult word to talk about, a word that is either going to make you feel really good about yourself or really bad about yourself, or maybe somewhere in the middle. And that word is contentment. Knowing when enough is enough. Contentment. How do we find contentment in our life? And so I wonder how many of us have found ourselves in the same situation as Steve Martin, stumbling through your life, picking up things and saying, this is all I need right here. This is it. This is all I need to be happy. This is all I need. And then I wonder how many of us find ourselves in this situation where we are constantly telling ourselves that we will find fulfillment if we just get this one last thing. And so today we're going to be looking at two of Paul's most famous verses in the Bible, and they talk about, ready, contentment. Both of them come from Philippians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to follow along, Bible app on your phone, that's fine too. We're going to read this scripture. We're going to camp out here for pretty much the whole morning. And we're going to be looking at Paul as he is currently in the end of his journey with Christ. He's towards the end of his journey with serving Christ. And he is describing in this passage a type of contentment that you are not born with. It's a decision that you have to make. If you look at Paul, he's currently in prison, obviously doesn't have a whole lot to be content about, and so he's talking about the idea of contentment being a decision that you have to actually actively make in your life. So we're going to read this Philippians 4, 10 through 19 together, and then we'll move on. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. And I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus, there's your next name for your next child, the gifts you sent. They're fragrant offerings and acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ. The phrase that Steve Martin keeps saying over and over again in this clip, he says, "That's all I need. That's all I need." And how many times, I wonder, do we consistently tell ourselves this? How many times do we use this particular phrase to justify irrational decisions that we make in our life? No, you don't understand. This is it. This is the last time, I promise. This will be everything that I need. It's almost Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for me, I've been married now for 16 years, and every single year, I wake up on Thanksgiving, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, I stumble out of bed, I get into my car, I drive to the nearest grocery store, and I buy newspapers for my wife. Why do I do this? Bingo. She was already ready with that answer. I know what he's talking about. Black Friday, right? This is it, Black Friday. And what's the Black Friday is wild. And it's getting better, I think. But at one point in time, not so long ago, we were going to do Black Fridays at like 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving. Like we've moved Thanksgiving from dinner to lunch so that we can get in line for these. Black Friday's out of control, but what's the justification for Black Friday, right? The justification is that we can get it all done in one day. One beautiful, glorious day of shopping and fighting and being hungry and tired and irritable and grouchy to save 25% at most and be able to go and get all these things, and we can get the whole shopping experience done in one single, beautiful, perfect day. And then Black Friday ends, and then what comes next? Cyber Monday. A lot more people said that than last service. I think last service they were a little bit scared to go along with me on this journey. But then comes Cyber Monday, and then all of a sudden we start back over again. And there's many times this season, the holiday seasons, that we use this phrase over and over again. Things like this. How about the fact that maybe your home, this whole year you've been getting your home and you are content. This is where I've wanted. I've painted every wall. I've gotten all my decorations up. I feel very content for the first time with my home. I love my space. And then you start to realize that there's parties coming up, and now all of a sudden there aren't enough Christmas decorations in all of Hobby Lobby to fulfill what it is that you need to fulfill in your life. It's crazy. Last year you said, "This is the last Christmas tree I will ever need. That's all I need, just that one Christmas tree." And then here's what happened, is that you went to Walmart on Halloween. Because your child, like my child, is incredibly indecisive, has no idea what they ever want to be. And so here you are on Halloween day trying to make a costume happen. And you find that where they had the Grim Reaper costumes, there's now Christmas trees. Because Halloween, Walmart moved on. They're done with Halloween. Forget that, okay? But they've got Christmas trees in every shape, color, size. They sing, they move, they spin. They've got Christmas trees that are upside down. They got Christmas trees that are literally cut in half so that you can push them up against a wall, and they charge the same price for it. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And some of you are highly triggered right now by what I'm saying. And some of you husbands are side-eyeing your wife, trying to figure out if she's laughing or is she, like, are we going along with this? Did I get caught laughing at this? Husbands, let me give you a little advice really fast. When your wife is upset with you, okay, words of absolute wisdom here, dial in. There is nothing that another Christmas tree won't fix. Listen, I'm at 9 this year. Holidays, statistically, are the biggest time of year for the cosmetology, cosmetics and makeup and hair and all these other things. This is the biggest time of year for these moments, because this is the time of year where you realize that you are not who you were hoping you would be by the end of the year. Because this was supposed to be the year of sunshine and rainbows, and then a hurricane came, and you look like it, and you can't figure out why. And not to mention, the parties are coming up, which means that the extended family's coming, and now you have to try to figure out how to justify to your mother mother-in-law how you gained back all the weight that you told her last year you were never going to gain back. And then the pressure and more parties. And there's a reason why little Debbie puts their Christmas snacks out early every year. And if you don't think I've got a box of them in my pantry already, you're crazy. This is how we cope. Little Debbie's. They make me feel better about myself. What about Christmas cards, right? The perfect family photo, which means that one of y'all tried to kill your family back in July when you haul them out to a cornfield in 100 degrees wearing sweaters and mittens and toboggans and whatever the heck else so you could get the perfect Christmas family photo. Stop this madness. It's crazy. You're all keeping... We're all trying to keep up with the Joneses, and if you're ADHD like me, you're trying to figure out what the heck does that even mean. And then I went to one website, and it's like, oh, there is no context for this. No, there is. 1913, 1914, there was a comic strip called Keeping Up with the Joneses. Now, it wasn't funny at all. It was horrifying, and it predicted the future. Spot on. Go look it up. I'm telling you. Don't. Well, or maybe not. It kept me up a lot. I digress. Sorry. Every year, we come up with more ways to be Christmassy, right? My wife and I, we own a farm out in Suffolk, and we're currently trying to turn it into an event venue. And she came flying up to me this week, and she goes, I know what we should do. We should do a Grinch party. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I watched The Grinch, what I got out of that is The Grinch ruins the party. Is that not what happens? Why are we throwing a Grinch party? That means that we're going to just take all the party stuff and walk away with it? Is that how that works? I don't understand. I can't keep up. I'm trying to, but some of this stuff doesn't make any sense to me. I think it's interesting. My favorite part of this whole clip was when he walks outside at the end and he goes, all I need is my dog. And the dog walks past him and he goes, I don't need my dog. How easily persuaded we are with what we do and do not need. We're told every minute of every day what we do and do not need, and we like to play this comparison game, right? So my neighbor got a 20-foot tall Santa Claus, so therefore I need a 20-foot tall Santa Claus because that's the way that life works. How about Starbucks? Can we talk about Starbucks for a minute? First of all, let me just go ahead and let you know, Starbucks is nasty. I don't care if you agree with me or not. It's nasty and you're overpaying for it, but it don't matter because it's the holiday season, which means that they just released this brand new mocha frappe, chappe, Christmas latte drink with actual bits of reindeer and elf snot glitter. I don't know. These things are ridiculous. And you're going to go get it, and you're going to post it on your social media, and it don't matter if it's nasty and has 6,000 calories and a whole cup of sugar in it. That don't matter. We're going to keep going. Social media tells us what we need all the time. All the time. Every trend is decided all the time, which, by the way, whatever happened to the Stanley Cups? That was dumb. And you guys ate that up and just kept on going with it. Just get some water for a second. Those things are stupid. They kind of work, though, right? Man, students. I'm working with the youth ministry now, and I'm learning that there are full-out trends that I will 100% never, like shoes that can't crease. Y'all seen these clowns walking around like this right here? What are you doing? I can't crease my shoes. What? Your feet naturally, never mind. I'm not getting anywhere. This generation is crazy, but the pressure is so stinking high. It's so high, and I can't pretend like we didn't do it. My generation did it. I wore JNCO jeans. Those were ridiculous. But it's everywhere right now. It's in your face. Everywhere you turn around, you're seeing all the things that you should have and should put in your life and all the things you need. My son is 12, and he came to me this week, and he said, Dad, I want some AirPods for Christmas. And I said, no. Here's why. You have headphones. You're in your ears right now. We got them for you. And he goes, Dad, I can't pull up to youth ministry wearing these headphones. Are you kidding? First of all, you're 12. You're not pulling up anywhere. I'm pulling up. I'm the one that does that. Calm down. But Five Below has AirPods that look like AirPods that just, I mean, they literally look exactly like AirPods, and they're $555, which, by the way, makes them liars. Because it's supposed to be five and below, not 555, but I digress again. Listen, some of us, hear me, some of us are drinking the ocean and trying to quench our thirst. Salt water, it's just going to continue to make you more and more and more thirsty. You're cramming every void in your life with the stuff that you think you need, and your thirst is insatiable. See, here we find Paul. Paul is in prison, okay, somewhere. I'm not sure where. Pastor Steve probably knows. Ask him next week. He'll tell you. I don't think it necessarily matters where he's at physically. I think what we're paying attention here is where he's at mentally. Okay, where is Paul at mentally in this? He says this. He says, I have learned. So picking up at verse 11, he says, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then the number one scripture of all time, to be knitted into a pillowcase, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think there's this misunderstanding of God that he is a God of restrictions. Here at Essential Church, we call those non-essential barriers. They are what keeps a lot of people from ever stepping foot into a church building, ever. Like Halloween, that's relevant right now. We just finished that. I worked at a church one time that made me sign a contract that says you'll never celebrate Halloween, ever. Turn your lights off, close your doors. Can't say I necessarily agree with that, but it's a non-essential, right? Everyone's got things that they think, but God, I'm telling you, is not here. He's not here to give you all these restrictions. We aim at this church to reduce those non-essential barriers, and the reality is sometimes we look a little rough around the edges, amen? That's who we are, but God's laws were designed not to bring us restrictions, but to bring us freedom. One of the first things that God did after getting the people out of Egypt was he had to get the Egypt out of people. What do I mean by that? This is a mental state. It's a mental state. And for some of us, contentment goes way beyond tangible physical items. We start to play these if-onlys in our head. If only I wasn't so tired. If only I wasn't so angry. If only I wasn't so jealous. If only I wasn't so self-conscious. I learned this week that there's an actual medical diagnosis called being tired of being sick and tired. That's what the doctor said. Tired of being sick and tired. It's where your body just accepts the defeat and calls it normal. And some of us have been stuck in discontent so long that it's beginning to feel normal. We'd rather stay in something that enslaves us because it's predictable. And we go back to this familiar addiction, these mindsets, this toxicity, because it feels normal. We choose the normal over the new any day. The commandments that God gave us, when he took Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai, he gave out commandments. These commandments were designed to teach people how to live in freedom. Matter of fact, the whole Bible is a manual on how to live in freedom. And the irony in this moment that we're talking about here is that God is using a man who is currently in chains to teach his people about freedom. That's wild. At this point, okay, in all of this, is that Paul has pretty much said everything that he needs to say to the church that he founded, and he uses his final words here in Philippians 4 to speak of the freedoms that he has found in serving and following after God. Things like freedom from fear, freedom from flesh, freedom from pride. We see these in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then we get to chapter 4, which comes in like a PS, if you will, an afterthought, and oh, by the way. And I read something super powerful this week that I'll never forget. I read somewhere that if you think about a PS as being a perspective shift, a way of flipping a switch and looking at things maybe a little bit differently. He comes in just this one chapter with two of his most famous verses in all of Scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. It's a, by the way, it's a PS is what I'm looking at here. And it starts right at verse 10 after he gets all of his introductions out of the way with the word rejoice. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. Now stop. How can we, heading into this season, try our best to stay focused on where we get our peace from, where we find our contentment from? And I believe that that is being together like we are right now, worshiping, praying, claiming that I'm going to see a victory in my life, keeping ourselves focused on God. That's a great step one. And we're here, so let's continue. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Paul throwing a little bit of shade here. He doesn't really know how to use his words very well. He uses the word at last, which means finally. Hey, I rejoice greatly that finally you've renewed your concern for me. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. But then he goes on and says, but you were concerned, I think that, but you had no opportunity to show it. Clearly, you had no opportunity. What's he doing? He's choosing. Okay, here he is choosing to assume the best. He is choosing not to resent in this situation. Now, I'm going to tell you to stop one more time. Resentment for me personally, and maybe for you personally, I'm not really sure, but resentment for me is, we call it a hang up in CR, if you will, is, man, if you want to have something that's going to stop you from experience any contentment in your life that comes from God, that's where you're going to start. I spent a lot of my years working in a super toxic environment. It completely messed me up mentally, and I was resentful and angry for a long time about it, and I missed so many things in my life that I could have had if it wasn't for the fact that I had clouded my mind. I had told God that I could never find contentment in that space. Contentment, listen to me, contentment and resentment cannot coexist. They cannot coexist. Moving forward, that's where we're going to start. Cannot coexist. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul throwing shade yet again. He says, I don't need your gift, but thanks anyways. That's what I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Can we all agree that Paul went through pretty much every circumstance that could be experienced by somebody? If you want to talk about a roller coaster of highs and lows, somehow through all of these circumstances, Paul is saying here that he has learned to appreciate all the seasons. Now, who's ever told you before, it's just a season? It's just a season. Hold on, it's just a season. We hear this all the time, right? Just calm down. It's just a season. When you know it's just a season, it's easy to bear. And the more seasons you live through, the more you're able to appreciate them. That's what's called wisdom. It's like if you've been a sports fan for a long time and your team sucks, you can easily look at somebody and be like, it's just a rebuilding year. We're still good, right? But some seasons just suck. It's the way it is. But they're easier to bear when you know that you are not stuck in that spot. Mentally, you're not stuck in that spot, but you can move forward. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul is saying, I know how to have plenty, but I know how to be pruned. Pruning seasons. These are difficult seasons, seasons of failure. We just got done talking about this for 4 straight weeks, right? About how your failure does not define you. Failure, moving from failure to repentance, is just part of your story. It's just part of your story. Paul was not exactly in a season of plenty here. Can we agree on that? And here's why he's in prison, right? But here's why he found contentment. Listen to me. Paul didn't confuse the supply with the source. Paul didn't confuse the supply with the supplier. Okay, he said it in these scriptures. He says, I didn't need the gift. I was content without it. He said, this isn't about the gift. I was content without it. I could never find fulfillment in the gift that you sent. I was content without it. Paul said, I didn't rejoice in the gift, but I rejoice in the one who sent it. It's kind of like when Nana knits you a sock. I don't like the sock, but I do rejoice because Grandma gave it to me. It's these sentimental things that you hold on to. It's not about what it is. It's about where it came from. It's about the gift itself. Your blessings that you experience in life, however they get there, however they're delivered to you, whoever it is that brings it to you, any of those things, it doesn't matter. Your supplier is God. God is the supplier. That one crazy ministry experience that I went through, and I thought that life would never get better, there was a blessing that I never saw coming. And my resentment, my personal resentment, kept me from experiencing that for a long time. How could I resent something that God used for his glory? So I had to let it go. But if I'm being honest with you, there are days where I'm still disappointed. You can be disappointed and content at the same time. We just got done talking about this with our students. It's okay to not be okay sometimes. You could be disappointed and still be content. Don't focus on the supply. Focus on the supplier. Appreciate all the seasons that you go through. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every perfect gift comes from God. He is the supplier. Perfect gift. When we're perfect, having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be. So that perfect gift that you're going to be searching for this season, inevitably, please don't look in the wrong place for it. All that stuff that you're going to try and fill voids with this season, this ain't it. That ain't it. You're doing too much. Too much is going on. Your contentment is not the supply. It's the supplier. So how do I get there? Three things. Recognize, release, receive. Recognizing that God is in control and you are not. That's hard, but it's something you got to do. And then releasing that control over to Him. Recognize that God is in control, you are not, and releasing that control to Him. And lastly, receive. Receive what? This is a fill-in-the-blank situation. What are you looking for? Joy, peace, hope, love, contentment, maybe? What is it that you're looking for in your life? See, because he follows this up at the end here with verse 19. He says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Receiving is the hard part. Can we agree that we can sometimes be pretty bad at receiving things? Because we say things like, I'm good, I'm fine, don't worry about me, I'm good, which is hardly ever the case. I'm good. Because being needy is not attractive, right? We don't want to be seen as needy. Because needy people are clingy and needy and all these things. And then we sit back and we wonder, what's wrong with us? Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel this way? I'm good. Don't worry about it. I'm good. But I don't want to be needy. And sometimes our discontent isn't because of the lack of the supply that's in our life. It's our personal ability to receive the supply. Paul said, I got your gift. That's what he told me. He said, I got it. Thanks for that, by the way. Appreciate it. But the truth is, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm here in prison, and I might get out. I might not. I don't know. But I'm good. I'm content. I appreciate you, but I will not lose hope. I appreciate you, but I will remain confident. We spend our whole life searching for this one thing, freedom. What does freedom look like? Freedom from what? Freedom from your hurts, your pain, your habits, all those things that are living in your life that you're looking for freedom for. I got it for you. The key is there, and it's contentment. Contentment is your key to freedom. If this life is truly about nothing more than a loving relationship with God that we can enjoy for all eternity, then why on earth do we spend so much time looking everywhere else but there for our contentment? Freedom is realizing that you already have what you need. You already have it. God is a supplier, and our freedom is found in Him. So that loving relationship with God that we talk about so much here at Essential Church, it starts with looking to God and saying the same thing that Steve Martin said over and over and over again. That's all I need. Let's pray together this morning. God, we thank you for this opportunity as we head into this holiday season to put our focus on you. God, to remember that even though the world is going to try to throw all kinds of things at us to fill our lives with, that, Father, you are the supplier. That, Father, if we could just begin to put our trust and our hope in you and find our contentment in you, that, Father, we'll find freedom on the other side. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to focus on you. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for the words that he wrote. Father, let this be a lesson this morning that no matter what season we are in currently, that it is just that, a season, and that you are still faithful. You are still the great supplier. And even though we may not like the sock that you knitted for us, Father, that you are the source, and for that you are to be praised. So God, thank you for this morning, and praise in your name. Amen.